Rokan Show with Anna DeBlantis right here on 720 WGN. The kids are in Cleveland.
They seem to be doing pretty well so far. Saw their pictures they're posting. They're in one piece. They got there safely. Found $5 parking, and they're off to the races.
Kevin Powell and Violetta Puttermedic, our sports and traffic reporters, are in Cleveland for us. We'll be checking in with them throughout the afternoon. And all I know is that Kevin can't find anything to eat because the baseball stadium is closed. And Violetta found $5 parking. That's so far, those are the big stories out of Cleveland. But there will be plenty more where that came from. All right, Michael Steele. We spent a little time in Cleveland with Michael Steele, as I seem to recall.
We
spent a month there over the course of a week in July.
It felt that way.
Seemed like to me. And now I ask you this, Michael Steele, former head of the Republican National Committee and a guy who now is on the MSNBC explaining what is happening in our political world. I ask you this, if you watched any of the news over the weekend or even today, everybody says this thing is over. And that all Republicans can hope for is that the down ballot races don't cost them the House of Representatives. Even the Senate might be lost here. Do you buy any of that?
No. But first, let me give a huge shout out to the Cubs. I just want to take care of the important business first.
Okay. Thanks, Mike.
Because I know if I didn't, that I would not be able to step foot into Chicago again.
That's probably true.
Yes.
It's probably true.
After what they did to my Nationals, I total respect to the Cubs. God bless them.
Are you not an Orioles fan?
I'm kind of bi, I'm kind of bi that way.
Okay. I see what you're saying there. Because, you were the lieutenant governor of the state of Maryland, weren't you? I mean, don't you have to be an Orioles fan?
But I was born and raised. I was in D.C. I'm a D.C. native. So
okay.
I'm a D.C. boy.
So it's,
I grew up in D.C.
So it's happy. It's happiness
and Senators, but now Nationals. And then I moved to Maryland. I was lieutenant governor. So go Ravens and Orioles.
Mm-hmm. It's nice to see the country.
For political expediency, he's a Ravens Orioles fan. But in his heart, he still misses the Senators. And that's his whole deal.
I do.
Yeah.
Come on.
Did that make you a Minnesota Twins fan?
Guys.
Did you become a Twins fan then?
No, I did not. I didn't support baseball until the Nationals came back.
Oh, see, that's
when they
nice.
Left, I was done.
Yeah. All right.
Well, it is nice to see people across the country coming together around our Cubbies and rooting for them. Coming together in general with everything that's going on.
They deserve this. They deserve it. They're the best team in baseball without a question or doubt, period.
All right. Well, let's see. 108 years. It's a long time to wait.
It's a long time.
I figured they've been practicing a long time, so they're damn good.
So do you think that it'll be 108 years before a Trump is elected president of the United States and it'll be Eric the Third? What do you think?
It could be more like 3 weeks. look, I understand what people are saying. And yes, I know what the polls are saying and all of that. But the reality of it is there's still a lot of volatility out here. In these races, they're tightening up in some of the battleground states, particularly among the Senate candidates. New Hampshire comes to mind with Kelly Iles and Maggie Hassan as the governor.
Mm-hmm.
But the reality is that the voters ultimately going to pull this thing. They're going to decide where they want to go. Trump is still, the. Other than the number of people who stood in line. But at the same time, at this stage, if this were lost, at the end, people just don't waste their time like that. And I just think that if it's going to be closer than people believe it will be, this thing is, at this point is a walk away.
Michael, hold on one second for us. Well, you know what? I'm going to break for traffic here, and then we're going to try to reestablish a connection with you because this one's breaking up just a bit, and we're missing key moments of your philosophy, and that we can't afford that.
We cannot have that.
I don't think America can afford that. So hold on one second, Michael. We'll get right back to Michael Steele. But first, Susan Burke has got the WGN traffic trouble spots right now. It's Rokan Show with Anna DeBlancis right here on 720 WGN. Michael Steele joins us on a reconstituted phone line.
Good.
From the, well, I don't know. Where are you? Washington, New York, wherever Michael Steele.
I'm actually in my home office.
Home office. Oh, somewhere in the Washington, D.C. metropolitan area. We don't know if it's on the Maryland side or on the Virginia side or in D.C. He refuses to say because he wants to be tri-statual or whatever it would be right there. I see what it's
super secret location.
Tri-statual. Yeah, right? Yeah. Just in case he's going to run for something. Hey, all right, let's talk. All right, so why does Donald Trump, and you ran the Republican Party. Is this over for Donald Trump? And if not, why not?
I don't think it's over for him, in the irony of ironies, because I think the voters have shown their propensity to go countercultural, counterpolitical, counter expectations. We don't know what voters out there are thinking and how they really are assessing this election. The fact that you look at these state polls, you look at the national polls. Yeah, the national polls have him, Hillary up by 11, up by 12, up by 10. But these battleground polls are a lot closer. And, I just think that you can't discount that and say this is over when he's leading in Pennsylvania. Yeah, by a small margin, but he's still leading in Pennsylvania when he's, very close, if not slightly ahead in Florida. He's competitive in Ohio, competitive Wisconsin. I mean, yeah, these races are taking on a life of their own. And I think anyone who's running around with the wishful thoughts that, this is all going to be a slam dunk for Hillary, just needs to reconsider exactly what potentially could happen and be smart about it.
If you look at where he's spending his time right now, it's Florida. He needs to win it. And as you say, a lot of the polls show he's within the margin of error there. He could win Florida. But the messaging points he's using in his speeches, the one I just heard before we came on air here, he's focusing again on the rig system and the media bias. Are those good messaging points at this stage of the campaign, or would he be bringing in more people if he went back to the dissatisfaction with Washington, the need for change? What do you make of how he's handling that part?
Yeah, I don't think that's good messaging. I think when you look at the interviews that members of the public, his supporters, are giving, I mean, not the people who walk around in suits all day long thinking they know something about politics, but the actual people who are card-carrying Trump supporters who are out there knocking on doors and trying to win the election for him. They're saying, would you please talk about the issues? You are at your best, Donald Trump, when you talk about the issues, when you prosecute the case against Hillary for, her plans on this or the emails or whatever it happens to be. So they know and they want the campaign to focus on something other than the kind of stuff that it's currently focused on, which is personal to Donald Trump, which, is not going to win him the election.
But isn't that the problem with him? I mean, isn't that really the issue? Is he cannot stay on message for more than 5 minutes. He gets up there and he dutifully reads from the teleprompter, left, right, makes that O thing with one hand, then points up in the air with the other. And then he does, and he's got that, the whole thing. And we know. And then at about the 6 minute mark, he goes, oh, and by the way, those bimbos? I'm suing them all. So sad that I have to do it, but I cannot wait.
The other part of it, that was a little bit, I don't know that rallies people to the polls.
Well, and I want to say something else here, too. One of the issues that he talks about is defense. And I happen to believe, and I thought that was very strong when he said today, I think this was on Twitter, that he had said that, listen, within hours of becoming president, he's going to lift the military sequester and blah, blah, blah. Some of that is mechanically not possible, but I like where he's coming from there. I happen to support that position. He then, though, also tweeted today about how the siege of Mosul is a disaster. He used the word disaster. Now, we have American personnel involved in this right now. We have Americans under fire in Iraq. We have in Baghdad, in the green zone, there is a huge structure that is just put in place, a command structure put in place to help coordinate and take Mosul back. We have field operatives, special operators, and government contractors and other types who are on the ground right there, who are Americans under fire. Is it appropriate for him to say that?
No, it's not. And particularly when you're given that an American serviceman has lost his life in this Mosul enterprise. So that's the problem that a lot of folks, myself included, have with the way the last 6 weeks of this campaign has been run. It is not, I mean, despite the great effort by Kellyanne Conway to actualize the campaign on the ground and to actualize it around some core issues or talking points, Donald Trump insists on getting up and talking about stuff and saying things that are outside the pale. And he thinks and has concluded in his own mind that this is what's worked for him. This is what's got him through the primary successfully. This is what's allowed him to stay competitive in this race. Yeah. But as I just said before, even now his own supporters are
Are starting to turn back on him here. Right?
Yeah, it doesn't mean that they're not going to vote for him.
Michael, I got to run right here.
To do something different.
I'm up against the computer. But thank you very much. Appreciate it. And we'll talk to you next week. Michael Steele.
You got it, man.
He says there's still hope in Trump land.